I'm Dima Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to music from Pink Martini. You can hear more of their music at pinkmartini.com. There are more women of color who are directors, but in Portland theater, it's still underrepresented. Two directors are opening plays soon, and we'll hear from Rebecca Martinez, who's directing Wolf at the Door at Milagro Theater, and that's running May 2nd through the 25th, and Lava Alapai, the director of The Revolutionists at Artist Repertory Theater, and that show's running through May 26th. What are the challenges and benefits to having a female director of color? And what advice do our guests have that would advance the hiring of more women of color as directors and leaders in theater? We'll hear about that and the two shows our guests are opening soon. So stay tuned. It's Stage and Studio. I'm Dima Roberts. With me in the studio is Rebecca Martinez. Hey, welcome back.
Thanks. I'm so happy to be here.
It's good to have you back. It's been probably a year or more since I've seen you.
Couple of years, probably.
Okay, yeah. So you're directing Wolf at the Door at Milagro Theater, and with us via phone is director Lava Alapai. Lava, are you there?
I sure am.
Oh, good. I wish you were here, but I'm glad to have you on the phone. You're directing The Revolutionists at Artist Repertory Theater, so welcome both to Stage and Studio.
Thank you.
Do you both know each other?
I know, Lava. How are you?
Yes, I was hoping to give you a squeeze today. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so have you worked together before?
We have. Yeah.
Many times, it seems like.
We actually, it was the last time I worked with Lava was at the brother-sister plays where Lava was performing and I was a choreographer.
Oh, really?
So very different roles than today.
Wow.
Yeah, very different roles.
How long ago was that?
4 years, 5 years?
Yeah, 2010, 2011 maybe?
More years than I thought.
That's a few years. Well, I thought it'd be great for you both to share some thoughts and perhaps secrets about being female directors of color in Portland. First off, let's talk a little bit about your shows. You want to tell us about both of the shows that you're about to open, Rebecca? You want to tell us about Wolf at the Door?
Yeah, Wolf at the Door is a play by Maricela Treviño Horta, and this is a Rolling World premiere, an NPN Rolling World premiere. So this is the third of four productions that were given to Maricela across the country so that she has a chance to really see how this play is working and sharing knowledge from one production to another production. And the thing that I love so much about it is I'm a lover of fairy tales and folk tales from childhood. And this is a grim Latinx fairy tale.
How it's built. So there's the actual wolf, and is the lead character sort of a Little Red Riding Hood? Or
the lead character is a young woman who, and the play set in the 1840s in Southwest and sort of like what was Mexico at the time, and it is a woman who through the visit of an unexpected person learns to find her own inner agency and inner ferocity.
Mm. Oh, wow. That sounds amazing. And it's great that it's getting a rolling premiere because I think Milagro has been doing that for a couple seasons now.
Yeah, the play that was just right before Jump, it was another rolling movie premiere.
Right. Too. Well, congrats on that.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, it sounds really great. Lava, tell us about The Revolutionists by Lauren Gunderson.
Yes, it is a play that takes place in 1793, on the eve of the Reign of Terror and the French Revolution.
Mm.
And we have four characters, a playwright and an assassin, a former queen, and a Caribbean revolutionist, a spy, have an interaction all in Olympe de Gouges, which is the playwright in her study.
Well, two of them are historic figures, right? Charlotte Corday and Marie Antoinette?
Marie Antoinette, Charlotte Corday, and also Olympe de Gouges is also a real real person from history. The Caribbean spy is not. She's more of a composite character.
Yeah, so what does it say about women, especially during that time and for now?
This is an interesting play because it takes the women and puts them in the forefront of the French Revolution. And if you kind of study the French Revolution, they were in the forefront, all starting with the women's march on Marie Antoinette to kind of beg for bread and ask to that they come back to the palace. So it kind of puts women in sharp focus on what they were doing in the French Revolution, and kind of we get to know Marie Antoinette a little bit better and kind of humanize her as a person rather than just kind of the dingbat who said the thing about the cake she never said.
Yeah, that's true. She never did say that, right? Yeah, so yeah, it's yeah. Like that's what she's known for. Great. Thank yeah. you, history. So written by men. So I think it's worth yeah. noting that both plays that you're both directing are by women playwrights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And women writers also have their own challenges to getting produced mm-hmm. in theater. So it's really great that, you know, that you're both highlighting those playwrights in these plays. If you just joined us, I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio, talking with Lava Alapai that we just heard. She's the director of Revolutionists at Artist Repertory Theater, and that's opening this week with previews running through May 26th. What's the official opening date, Lava?
May 4th.
Okay. And then we're also joined by, in the studio, Rebecca Martinez, who's directing Wolf at the Door at Milagro Theater, and that's running May 2nd through May 25th, and that's about to open too. It's great you're both opening these shows this weekend. You can find out more about Milagro at milagro.org or artistrep at artistrep.org or stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio, where I have all those links. So, Rebecca, in your directing credits, you list Artist Rep. What project did you do there?
Well, I was the it was billed as the education and outreach director there for a couple of years. I also, and in that, I led a few educational projects that I worked in, including shows that we toured around to kids, just different community audiences. I also was a teaching artist with them for years, and then I performed in a play called Chasing Empire's Soul, which was actually about the legacy of Lewis and Clark.
Ah,
and that
okay.
toured around the state of Oregon.
Okay, all right. Well, because I was wondering, you know, I've had a long history with both Milagro and Artist Rep. The first shows that I was in 1989 and 1990 were for mm-hmm. those both companies. And I was wondering actually if Lava was the first woman of color, you know, billed as a director. But so, you know, you
I did not direct on the main stage.
Okay.
This was through the education program.
Because I really don't think there have been very many. That's my point. At Artist Rep, you know. So I don't know, Lava, have you checked into it if you were like the first official main stage, you know?
I have not checked into it.
Well, because, you know, I think history is important, or herstory, yeah, so, yeah. you know, I like to check these things out.
So in recent history, yes, but
yeah,
that's not
yeah.
the entire history.
Well, we'll find out, I guess. hopefully we'll do some research, more
Stay
research.
Tuned.
We'll ask Alan Noss to.
Yeah, right.
You know, so, but Milagros had a long history of women directors.
Mm-hmm.
And they might be on the forefront, I think, in Portland regarding mm-hmm. that. What do you think, Rebecca?
Well, since my first time with Milagro, which was quite a while ago, but I was directed by Olga Sanchez.
Yeah, yeah.
In a production of Blood Wedding,
right.
which I think I don't even know when it was. It was like 2000 or something like that.
It was a while ago.
It was
yes.
a long time
mm-hmm.
ago, and so. That was part of my history coming in, and that's where my first shows that I directed were at Milagro. So I came in with several female Latina directors who were really given the freedom to do and explore what they wanted to explore, and I was given that same freedom and encouragement to exercise my own voice at Milagro. So that was when I talk about education, I went to the University of Milagro because that's where I got my muscle in theater was with them.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to have the university of at all theaters, right? Would you both talk about, I guess, the challenges of what was your first directing? You know, what was being offered your first directing job in theater? Lava, what was your first directing job?
In Portland, that would have been Locomotion at Oregon Children's Theater, like first main stage
yeah.
production.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite a little while ago. That was my first main stage. But prior to that, I had been doing some readings and things like that around Portland. I had been directing kind of here and there before I got to Portland, but I was an actor before I quit.
I bet that was important, though, being offered that job.
Yeah, it was an important kind of step towards realizing and kind of accepting that that I really loved telling stories, and I also really loved working for children's theater and telling stories for the youth,
for young audiences. They do great work.
Yeah, it was an amazing place to kind of cut my teeth on main stage shows, and then from there it just kind of tumbled into the opportunity to direct the Octoroon at ART last season with Damasu.
Wow. Okay. So, Rebecca, what was your first directing job?
It was El Milagro, and it was a Dia de Muertos show that was for the dance company, which I ran for a while too.
That's right.
And it was a show. It was a devised show of like all sorts of stuff.
Yeah,
dance and music and poetry and I did several shows because I was primarily a performer as well at the time before I quit, and then I started working a little bit outside of town. But then the other companies that I know took chances on me were definitely Oregon Children's Theater, Stanford at Oregon Children's Theater, and Josh Hecht at Profile Theater.
Interesting. That's so great. You know, and you say take chances. You know, I was at the TCG conference in Portland here, I think it was 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and there was a statistic that said that the gender disparity in male and female directors, but also managers, that men, you know, if they have 60% of the qualifications, they think that they're qualified to do the work, whereas women who have 60% of the qualifications will say, well, I don't know, you know, I'm not totally qualified for it. So there's a mm-hmm. different way of thinking, mm-hmm. you know, because why is that taking a chance? You've both been doing theater for many number of years, right? Yep. So what is that about? Can anybody speak to that?
I have some opinions about that.
Good.
Because this is something I've been encountering a lot and been in conversation with folks. And even though I do have a pretty long history of directing, I didn't come through a university program, so I don't have like that stamp, that like Ivy League stamp or whatever
exactly.
it is.
Right.
So my work sort of has to stand for itself. And I am regularly in places where if I don't have the right credits on my resume or don't have the right people on my resume, it may not be something that is sexy enough for somebody
right.
else to bring in. And I actually had a mentor of mine who's a white cis man, who basically, when I was talking about him, I'm like, I feel like I'm under a greater amount of pressure as a female Latina director, because I feel like I can't fail the same way a white man can fail, mm-hmm. because I'm
yeah.
brought in
totally
often unknown, because they need a Latina or somebody of color, and I am brought in to do this job, but because I'm not in their circle, I'm not necessarily welcomed in the same way. I've had really good experiences, but there's always like that extra level of pressure that I feel naturally going into a new situation.
It just hits me right to the core when you speak of that. Lava, do you have a response to that? Or
I have been fortunate enough not to have had too many odd experiences with men, but I do feel an extra amount of pressure, especially when the story is from my people or mm-hmm. of my people. Like I, whenever I direct a show that has a predominantly cast of color, then I feel responsible in so many different ways. And if it fails, then what does it say about those types of stories? So like we're already trying to fight for a place to even be able to tell our stories, let alone like then if they're not uber successful, then what does it mean for the rest, mm-hmm. For everybody else coming behind me? Like, you know, what happens then if it's not successful? I feel there's a lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure mm-hmm. to put on, yeah. besides directing, that you also have to represent. And that mm-hmm. sort of leads to a question that I have. But yes, there's pressure, but do you also find an advantage, especially with a project that might represent your cultural community? Lava?
Yes and no. I feel like my advantage coming into it kind of depends on the vantage of the story, I guess. I will admit, you know, some privilege. So there's some things that I too will have to step aside for, so that somebody else can tell the story better than I can. But like when it's especially if there's a person of color in the cast, that character often gets a little bit more of my attention, just so that they're not any kind of a stereotype of representing any of my people, basically.
Oh yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. But you also said something that was interesting. You said you'd step aside if it doesn't represent your culture, whereas I don't, you know, I'm making generalities here, but I don't find that a lot of white male directors would feel that.
Yeah,
they would have to. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and I feel like that's a part of being an ally, is recognizing when it is your time to reach your hand back and pull somebody mm-hmm. else that can tell that story. And just because I'm also a person of color, it doesn't mean that I should be telling everybody. I should be telling all stories.
Right.
I also have to say, okay, this is a story I shouldn't be telling. This is about you. You know, you should be telling the story so that you can really help put the story out there and give it justice.
Rebecca?
Yeah, I think about that a lot as well. And particularly, I have light skin privilege. And realizing when that opens doors that doesn't open for folks with darker skin. And so how do I make sure that if keeping that similar thing, like, is this something I should be telling, or is there somebody that I know of who maybe not looked at when that I could refer or recommend to either guide the project, or how do we talk about doing this in a way that is both responsible and equitable with who is in the room, who is creating the story.
Well, I'm Dimae Roberts, and this is Stage and Studio, and I have Rebecca Martinez, director of Wolf at the Door at Milagro, here in the studio, and with us via phone is Lava Alapai, director of The Revolutionists at Artist Repertory Theater. I also wanted to ask you something. I went to see Theater Vertigo's Dark Sky Full of Stars, and that's an all-female production directed by Josie Seed. And at the talkback, the actresses said something that really resonated with me. They talked about the differences in having a woman director versus a male director. And one of the major differences was that women directors actually don't mind actors, especially women, asking questions during notes, whereas at times they expressed when male directors might feel that they were being challenged when women asked them questions. Now, I had similar experiences to that. I don't know if you've had experiences to that and what your policy is, but when I had a woman of color who director, she was actually surprised that I wasn't asking questions during notes, you know, because I had sort of, I had refrained myself by that point, you know. So I don't know. Is that one difference, you know?
You know, I'm not, for me, I think it might be a directing style. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I've always been, like I said, I've been really blessed and fortunate to be able to work with lovely people, but it could be a gender difference, but I, as a director, I'm a pretty collaborative director, so I really want buy-in and input from everybody in the process, so that the story that we're telling, we are all in it together, and that we're telling the same story from just different vantage points.
Yeah, and I come from an ensemble theater background.
Yeah,
theater.
Right.
So it is very collaborative in decision-making, and we look at it as a dialogue. And as a director, I see myself as a facilitator of how do I make sure everybody, designers, actors, production, everybody is telling the same story. That's what I feel my job is.
So it could be just in the structure of how the director sets the mm-hmm. the structure of the play.
Sure.
And the process.
I'm thinking right now of two white male directors who were very good about answering questions and being in that dialogue. So I don't know if it's a training thing or if it's a style thing or what exactly that it is. But I feel fortunate as well to have been in rooms where people are open to dialogue. Like, it has to be a dialogue because I don't have all the answers.
So are there differences, though, that you can see that women, you know, female directors can bring to the table?
For me, I think maybe I'm a pretty gentle person, I think, and I kind of lead with empathy no matter what situation I'm in, and that may be something that might be a little different. I have had other actors tell me that the difference between a male and a female director is that kind of just coming in and operating from a place of being able to operate from empathy.
I approach directing a lot with like, how can I be a better listener?
Yeah.
How can I be a better listener in the room, and how can I lead the room to listen to each other and connect with each other? Because I feel like if we are connected to each other, we can tell the story in a more effective way. And I know, because I've been in rooms with plenty of directors, that is not the way everybody approaches work. Like, some people do come in and say, this is my vision. And it has been a lot of men. I don't know if it's a gender split or anything like that, but it has been a lot of men that have mm-hmm. come in with, here's my specific idea, and you're all jumping in, which is, you know, great as well sometimes.
Yeah. It just depends on the production then.
Yeah, it depends, yeah.
Well, so you know, what, I guess, you know, are the challenges for you getting that job? You know, what are the challenges, and what are the roadblocks, and how can we make it more of a, more commonplace for especially women of color to be directors?
I think it would take a lot of commitment from theater companies, and not just to fill a checkbox on their EDI page, but to really want to tell stories with and from and by people of color. And it's been kind of an interesting journey, because it's, you know, Artist Rep really does care about people telling stories and representing other cultures in a more authentic way. And a lot of the directors and the resident artists, they do step aside in order for the people to be able to tell their own stories. And I think it's a very supportive environment. So I think a lot of other places need to follow that, because it also means that director doesn't get to direct that in that season, or doesn't get to direct in that show, or, you know, it's not enough to put people of color on stage. You have to put them behind the scenes and behind mm-hmm. the table. And it's really important that means that certain folks don't get to do a show that year or something, and that's got to be okay, to be able to support telling stories for and by the people they're about.
Good points there, mm-hmm. yeah. And I want to put also that they need to be in the audience too. But you
yeah.
know,
true.
So, Rebecca.
True.
Yeah, I have two quick things. One is I've been invited to direct shows that have been like, here's the first play we've done by a Latinx writer ever, you know, that kind of show, where it is like, we have a Latino population in town, and we want to make sure that there's something for them. And I want to make sure that yes, absolutely, theaters need to do that. They also need to know that one play is not going to bring them in. That is a commitment that a theater needs to make if they want to develop the audience and they want to bring them in and make a connection to them. That is a multi-year process, and it is a dedicated process and a time process, because of how many years have they gone without making those relationships. So that's one of the things. And then the other thing, and I know, like, I'm going to be doing a lot of that kind of directing around the country, and I am happy to do that. I am happy to go in and be like, sure, I will direct your play by a Latinx playwright. I'm super happy to do that. But then the other thing exciting this year is I have a show coming up that has nothing to do with Latinx culture at all. And it is a play written by a white man. And it is something that I was invited to do by an artistic director of color, who wants to say that, you know what, female directors of color can direct stuff that isn't,
well, that's what I was
going to
say,
their
is
culture.
Like, not that you'd yeah, want to, yeah. but you should be able to direct Our
Anything.
Town, you
yeah,
know,
right.
by
mm-hmm.
Thornton Wilder, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
you know, you should be able to
yeah.
do that,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know, right? So that's an important point. I'm going to give some the play information right now. Milagro Theater presents Wolf at the Door, a grim Latino fairy tale written by Marisela Trevino Horta, directed by Rebecca Martinez, May 2nd through the 25th. Show runs Thursday through Saturday, 7:30 p.m., Sunday at 2 p.m. All shows at Milagro, 525 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. tickets and info, 503-236-7253 or milagro.org. Artist Repertory Theater presents The Revolutionist by Lauren Gunderson, directed by Lava Alapai. Show runs May 4th, opens on May 4th, and there's previews before, but it opens May 4th through May 26th. Artist Rep offers a Pay What You Can night, which I didn't know about, Sunday night first preview performance of every play. So there's no reservations for that. You just come to the door. All shows are at the Morrison Theater at 1515 Southwest Morrison Street. Tickets are call at 503-241-1278 or visit artistrep.org. In the time remaining, we just have a couple minutes. What advice would you give women of color who want to get into directing or just to get offered their first directing gig? Lava.
Make connections, talk to people. That's going to be the first way to create relationships with theaters that you really want to work with.
And Rebecca?
Target people who you're interested in the work that they're doing. Make friends with them, connect with them, learn from them.
Okay, and finally, this is a hard one. What's your secret to directing, Rebecca?
Ooh.
Lava has some time to think.
I think my secret to directing is trying to exercise my own delight and imagination and try to make something that I love with my whole heart.
And Lava?
Same, it's mostly the same thing. She said it way better than I did.
She did. That was very cool what you just said.
But yes, I mean, communication, building an ensemble, and really being able to listen to the characters and the actors and the designers and making something that I would like to come watch.
Okay. And final question. What would you say to women who are told, no, they can't, or you really, you know, can't direct? What would you say? What's your advice to those women? Rebecca?
You can. If you want to, do the work.
And Lava?
Keep showing up.
Keep showing up. Yeah. That's what I always say. You know, when people say no, that makes me want even more determined.
Yeah.
Okay, Rebecca Martinez and Lava Alapai, thank you so much for this great conversation.
Thank you.
And break legs on your show.
Yeah, happy opening, Lava.
You too, happy opening.
And I hope you get to see each other. Rebecca's only in town till Sunday, so Lava, just so that you know.
I'll try to hunt you down, Lava. Find you somewhere.
So before it was great to talk to you both. Before we go, a shout out for Corrib Theater's production of How to Keep an Alien, and that's directed by Gemma Whalen, and it featured a delightful and charming performance by Sarah Hennessy in a 75-minute almost solo show, and she's aided by Amy Katrina Bryan, who sweetly stage manages and even sings. And the show runs through May 5th at New Expressive Works, and you can find out more at corribtheater.org. That's it for Stage and Studio. I'll have the show online later today at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Like us on facebook.com/stageandstudio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going out with more music.